I was seeing something I think that a lot of people weren't seeing. And it was that I looked at sort of the internet as like this kind of gold mine. And I'm like, wait a minute, this has never existed before. This access to teachers and thinkers and ideas and conversations and communities, this has not existed before.
Hey friend, it's Damon Dubinsky here in New York City. Today's guest is Paul Jun. He believes and practices lifelong learning and self-education. He has written many, many blog posts and articles and 3 books, including Connect the Dots, which we talked about here in this podcast conversation. Paul has been writing and blogging for over 9 years over at Motivated Mastery, being one of the early adopters on the online writing world. Paul and I met through Seth Godin's community, where he was one of the first coaches in the Alt MBA program, and he also played key roles in growing that community. When we first talked and met, I loved his passion and energy for learning projects, skill development, and community, and you soon will too as well. You also learn how Paul got a transformational job as the head of content for Creative Mornings and his journey from leaving the firm in early 2019, and how he then got his new job as the editorial director at Collins, a leading design firm in 2019 as well. Specific ideas and resources here could really help you think about new opportunities and blind spots that you can't really see. Paul is also a self-taught photographer and is the co-creator of the Observers Project, a curious community for photographers and lovers of books. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Paul. So Paul, if we were to go to an event tonight, how do you typically introduce yourself?
I keep it very simple. I say, hi, my name's Paul. I'm a writer and photographer. And I just sort of let that go wherever they, however the person wants to take that conversation. They'll ask about photography, or they'll ask about writing, or they'll make a hard left turn and ask something else. And so I just kind of try to keep it very simple.
Okay. I'll try to keep it simple here. maybe we could start out on the writing. It seems writing has been a focus of yours for close to 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And would love to maybe just start with one of your books, mm-hmm. Connect the Dots, mm-hmm. and just kind of walk us through a little bit about why you wanted to write that book and what that book is kind of about.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So during my 4 year in college, I was really checked out. I just was completely unstimulated by traditional education, and I was very aware of it. On the flip side, I also was aware of how important learning was for just who I wanted to become. And I think the skill of learning how to learn was something that I was developing at the time. And, you know, it was to the point where, like, I had just had to listen to my body. I was so, like, I would be in a classroom and it was just completely draining. And, but then I would, like, go home and read a book on habits or decision making or creativity, and I could spend 3-4 hours straight and uninterrupted just going down this rabbit hole. And so I realized over time, as I was talking to, like, some of my friends at school, like, you know, about education, like, hey, like, I feel like we're not learning what we need to be learning. Why are we learning this 101 stuff when we're, you know, in our third year in college? And so I realized I had developed personal tactics and strategies for self-education. And I realized a lot of my friends didn't even know where to start. I was seeing something I think that a lot of people weren't seeing. And it was that I looked at sort of the internet as like this kind of gold mine. And I'm like, wait a minute, this has never existed before. This access to teachers and thinkers and ideas and conversations and communities, this has not existed before. And I have infinite access to it. I can pay a monthly fee for an online education course, and I can just learn what I think I'm learning in school. You know, I was majoring in psychology at the time. I could learn it from a variety of teachers from different institutions. I was like, this, that diversity of thought I thought was really fascinating. And so also as a writer, I knew that it was important for me to keep writing and to self-assign projects. If I wasn't getting assignments, then I had to kind of give myself an assignment. Writing a book, you know, this was like my third one. And this one, I kind of went all in. My first one was just the Kindle version. My second one was just a PDF that I gave out for free, you know, because I had seen other authors do the same. And I wanted to understand how that grew, like your readership or how it got your ideas out there. This one was very like kind of early stage, you know, Amazon had just sort of opened up CreateSpace, which allowed you to create print books and that they would handle the distribution. And literally all you had to do was just write the book, get it designed, get it formatted, and submit it to this platform. And so I did the Kindle route. I did the print version route. I hired like a legit editor who works with New York Times bestselling authors to give feedback on my work. I mean, it was just such an incredible project that taught me how to manage my own sort of labors of love, and but also be accountable for it. I, you know, going to school full time, working part time job, trying to get this writing thing off the ground. It was a really good lesson in knowing that, like, yes, I'm trying to do a lot and I want it all. And so managing my energy into the right channels so that I can actually bring this thing to life was key. And for me, that shift was when I decided to get straight C's in school. I was like, wait a minute. I caught myself being stressed out about not getting, I've never gotten straight A's in my life. And I think that's something that, you know, my parents always wanted me to achieve. I think it's very baked into the kind of culture I grew up into. And I realized, oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to get a master's in psychology after this. I'm just studying psychology because it simply interests me, but I am a writer, you know, and I see this other career path that school is not empowering me to like go on. So, but at the same time, I had to complete school. And so I said, okay, what if I got straight C's instead of trying to get straight A's? That means that I'm still present. I'm just not taking some tests, or I'm not taking the finals, or I'm not showing up all the time. For me, that was about opportunity cost. If I didn't go to school, what would I do instead? And that's when I invested in my book project. I would spend all day writing and writing drafts and coming up with different chapters and planning the project, budgeting it, reaching out to different resources, reaching out to different authors for feedback. And I wrote that like my sort of junior, senior year, you know, my third or fourth year in college. Mm-hmm. And it was a reminder for me that learning and the habit of learning is important, that it's a habit that you have to keep feeding it and growing it and pushing it, that it's not just going to be this automatic thing like breathing. Like, you have to treat it like a commitment every day that you are learning something. And I also just felt, if I have something to say about this new world of self-directed learning, maybe I can offer an interesting perspective that will help a student like me who feels very lost and very unstimulated to just start somewhere, to see that you have this gift is something that you've never had before. Your parents didn't have it. You're the smartest people that you studied, like Albert Einstein. They didn't have this. We have this infinite access to all these ideas, and there are ways to take advantage of it. And no one's going to do it for you. A lot of it has to be self-initiated. You have to develop a curiosity to want to learn, and you have to tell yourself a story about how important it is to learn so that you can become this person that you envision. And so that was one of my proudest projects. And it was also the one project in my, you know, at the time, short writing career that taught me not to hinge my self-worth on likes, revenue, sales. I mean, yes, those were important, but going into this project, I told myself, look, you're not going to get rich off this book. That's not what this is for. This is simply just to share an idea and to see if it resonates. And inadvertently, that was my most successful project. Like, I went, you know, I think I only got my first one-star review like last year. And the book's been out for like 5 or 6 years. So for all that time, I did not get a single one-star review. I was like, that's successful. But for me, how I started redefining success for what that book meant was if a young student from somewhere, you know, around the world emailed me and was like, I read your book. Like, basically saying, I read your book. I feel seen and heard. I was lost. I didn't know where to start. I came across your book and it gave me perspective. And now I am on this sort of new path. To me, that's like, okay, I see the book. I'm done. Mm-hmm. The work is done. That project can now, you know, sort of just live on, and hopefully it, you know, reaches students around the world.
There's a lot about writing there that I want to talk about. I also read another blog post of yours, which is the beauty of writing. It's out there for people to learn from. Was when you started working at Creative Mornings, kind of that uncertainty about hopping into that role and how you kind of saw that in terms of designing your career. And
I love this kind of cross-pollination of all these things because, in fact, yeah, writing was it became my foundation for everything, you know, not just writing articles for publications, but also the habit of journaling. So I'm living in New Jersey. I'm freelance writing. I was working part-time with Seth on the All-NBA. I coached, and then I, you know, built a community. I needed something more full-time, and I was looking for something else. And I, you know, my friend Sean, who has been like a career champion for me and just a really good friend, he was like, hey, look, I think this is a perfect role for you. You should check it out. And I had heard of Creative Mornings because I watched a few of their talks online, and I was... But I had no idea what it really was. Like, I just thought it was like a talks. Like, I just couldn't wrap my head around what does an engine of generosity mean? And what does it mean to have a volunteer-led organization for these monthly events? It just didn't exist in my world. The language wasn't there. The visuals wasn't there. The feelings weren't there. And so... I also at the time in that point in my life was ready for some pretty like big changes. I was born and raised in Jersey. All my best friends live there. My family lives there. So it felt like I was sort of taking, you know, pulling out all the roots and replanting, you know, just an hour away. But it felt like a totally different universe. And so throughout that time, there are a lot of things I have written that I never published. And it's like I needed to write, you know, sort that chaos into order. There's this amazing book called Why We Write. And it's like 20 or X number of authors who share very deep philosophical sort of understandings about why they do what they do. And it just immediately resonated with me. One of my favorite lines, and I'm sure it's funny, I feel like a lot of writers have said it now, but writing for me feels like shedding dead skin. And throughout that entire transition, yes, I wasn't writing for my blog as much anymore because I was going through the move and the new job and just sort of getting my feet on the ground. But there were times in the evenings or early mornings where I would just sort of give myself that pause button and just sort of reflect on what I'm feeling and how I'm behaving and what I'm thinking about and why I'm maybe negatively reacting to something or being curious about another thing. That sort of, I don't know what to call it, a vehicle or just a place or a craft or a tool to just empty my thoughts was invaluable. And I often try to tell people, like, you know, writing, I truly, and this is like one of those things that I strongly believe that maybe most people would disagree with, and that's okay. I'm willing to sit alone on this. I think writing is a craft that everyone should do, no matter if you're going to publish, you know, publicly or not. I think, you know, if it's a meditative practice, if it's a personal practice, if it's something that you is synonymous to meditation or prayer, I think you can call it what you want. But I think the act of seeing your thoughts on paper is invaluable. It's just so clarifying. And, you know, there are like, I've kind of went down like the psychological route of other articles of like the psychological benefits of writing and, you know, how, you know, there are studies of how it has helped people overcome, you know, job loss and heartbreak because they're just simply, you know, talking to themselves. I feel like oftentimes we bottle up these feelings and these experiences hoping that people could read it on our faces. But it's just like, no, like, I, you know, that's not immediately obvious. It's like invisible ink. You have to like make it real by writing it down. And for me personally, and this is totally personal, but when it comes to journaling, I do pen to paper. There is something about one, I mean, you know, my hand cramps up after like 10 minutes, but there is this sort of intentionality of choosing your words to describe your experience, giving it a name that I think is really powerful. And it's extremely intentional. Whereas typing on a keyboard, you can kind of just, you know, word vomit and then you clean up the mess later. And so, yeah, I would say writing was like that sort of this habit, this force that helped me transition into like this sort of new chapter. And then while I'm living in this new chapter, you know, day by day, I'm reflecting every day how I'm feeling, you know, what I'm learning from my team, what's becoming more obvious for me about the work that I'm doing and who I'm in service of and ultimately, why am I here? Like, why did I take this? What was really beautiful about Creative Mornings was when I first joined, Tina had proposed, hey, let's just date for 2 months. Like after 2 months, if you don't like the work and you don't like the role or vice versa, like if this isn't working out, it can be an easy sort of like departure. And I really love that. I was like, that took so much pressure off of me. Like, oh my God, if this doesn't work out, then I'm back in the cold again. And, you know, kind of out in the wilderness, like not knowing where to go. I don't know. I hope that answers it. Yeah. But yeah, it was just the activity for clarity and for self-awareness and to just feel like my feet were just like sort of on the ground. Mm-hmm. And if that was a temporary feeling, fine. But just to always remind myself that I can return to that, you know, on the blank page or on a blank screen was invaluable to me. And just because people weren't reading it or because it wasn't public didn't make me less of a writer.
Mm-hmm. And clearly that role there has turned into a lot.
Fundamentally, like, yeah, completely transformed me. Opened my world to community. To me meant my best friends. That's all I really extended it to. I never saw my town as a community. I never saw... community was just a very sort of shallow definition for me. And Creative Mornings sort of completely just opened up those frames, blew it wide open, and, you know, pushed me to sort of reinvent that definition for myself and what it means to be part of a global community or a global family that is, you know, based on shared values, shared worldviews. And that was really powerful. Yeah, it was a truly, truly life-changing experience.
And then maybe talk, I don't think I've seen it, but would be curious as to how you were thinking about transitioning away from there. And after, yeah, what did you want to learn next? Or what did you want to contribute? Maybe there's not much to this question, but it's just kind of curious.
Yeah. I think, over time for me, I've had such weird sort of jobs and a weird job trajectory, but I started becoming self-aware about when I start, feeling like I need to transition out of something that I've sort of hit this wall. And it's a concept that my friend Sean, again, sort of my creative champion, my career champion, he taught me this idea of learning versus earning. And every opportunity has this. And you need to decide what's most important to you. And there is no right or wrong answer. This is completely personal. This is completely aligned with where you are in life and what you need next to sort of advance to this next frontier that you're trying to get to. I had realized that my learning sort of started slowing down at Creative Mornings. And I remember reflecting, I was in Colorado with two of my buddies, you know, working remotely for a month. I'm in the mountains, just really sort of meditating on my future, who I want to become. You know, everything had felt like it happened so fast. Life just, the moment I moved to Brooklyn, I felt like someone just kind of 2x the speed of my life. And in many good ways, like it just, I was busy having fun and busy meeting and learning and whatnot. And I just remember that I just wasn't, there was like this kind of feeling in my stomach, in my chest, that I kind of had stopped doing my best work. There was a period where I was doing my best work. I was learning a lot. I was contributing a lot. I was experimenting. I was trying new ideas. But then there came a point where I was like, oh, what does this year look like for me? And the answer just kept coming back to me, and it was, oh, it's going to look exactly like last year. And I was like, am I okay with that? And the more I sort of sat on that and thought about it, I was like, I am not okay with that. I don't feel okay about that. I need to keep stretching and growing and learning. I think it was also obvious from my former team. I think they started realizing like, oh, Paul's kind of slowed down a little bit. Right. He's not running at the full speed that he always does. I'm an all-in kind of person. And so it's obvious when I'm a little checked out. And Tina, you know, the amazing, you know, friend and mentor that she is, spotted that and was like, look, like, I won't let you, you know, do this to yourself. So you tell me, like, can I create an opportunity for you where you can grow into and keep learning? You know, here's some ideas. Or like, we need to figure out a future for you where you can do your best work and you can keep learning. And that was, again, invaluable. I mean, how many people listening to this could say that their boss would approach them in this generous, thoughtful, kind way? I was just floored. I was like, I can't believe she's, I mean, it's not that I couldn't believe it. It's just like, wow, like I felt so lucky, and that I shouldn't squander this connection and this opportunity to rethink my life. So I whiteboarded my life for 2 months. My friend Jenna, helped me with that, where basically I just threw stories at her and she just found the sort of lining through all of them and helped me compress my last sort of 2-3 years of living in Brooklyn and being at Creative Mornings. And I had done a bunch of other things as well. I started photography when I moved to Brooklyn, you know. And so my identity sort of stretched in all these different ways, but the form didn't feel right to me. There was something about too scattered about my thinking or my direction, and I needed help to sort of pull the e-brake and get out of the car and look around and go, okay, where are we? Mm. All right, like, we've been on this road. Are we making a hard left turn or are we going back? Wow. You know, and, you know, again, thanks to good friends, she helped me develop that clarity. And that clarity helped me with language. Language for me, because I'm a writer, because I'm so left-brained, I needed to develop a story for myself, a new narrative, something that I repeat in my own head, but also something that I can communicate to people, right? So that if someone wanted to hire me, to pay me for something, what is the value that I'm bringing to the table? And I can articulate that, you know, with pure confidence. Like, it was unapologetic. It was just like, nah, this is, you get all of this, or it's like, I'll help you find someone different.
And can you say that narrative or that story or that headline, or, you know, kind of?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's still pretty much, So what I did, maybe this will be helpful, in that time of kind of, I like calling it chaos in a good way, because I think, you know, all chaos is just a pattern that hasn't been revealed yet. And it's a tangling of shoelaces, you know, and sometimes you just got to get that one knot, you know, and break it apart. And the whole thing just starts to sort of unravel. And there was this freaking knot, you know. What I did was I wrote down a list of, what was it? I think 12 or 15 people that I felt, one, could engage in real talk, no armor, no bullshit, you know, straight, like, this is love. I care about you. I want to see you do well. Who are the people in my life that show up in this way for me and that I've showed up for them? And what was beautiful about this was it was a diverse range. People 20 years older than me, people 10 years younger than me, people that were my age, people that were just a few years older than me, but had seemed like to be on a totally different stratosphere in their career and thinking and maturity. And I took everyone out to lunch, dinner, breakfast. Like, I will meet you where you are. Like, I am asking an hour of your time, and this is the kind of sort of storm that I'm in right now. I'm looking for that lighthouse. And they all gave me just insane, ridiculously generous feedback about how they perceived me, and what they saw and the stories they told themselves about me. Wow. That I didn't know about. And I'm like, wow, there is, it's all over the place. Some saw me as a community builder. Some saw me as just a photographer. Some saw me as just a writer. Another person saw me as a strategist. I was like, I've never called myself that, you know? And so over time, I remember, what's a story that takes all of these experiences, all of these crafts, all of these ideas, and puts them into one thing? And I remember calling myself at the time a creative director. And I'm like, oh, that sounds good, but I was like still unsure about it. And Tina, I'll never forget this. I share her my new website. You know, my new website has my sort of my refreshed identity. It has projects that I chose not to include because I didn't want someone to misconstrue what I actually do. I wanted them to focus on sort of the core of what I do and why I do it, and that's where I shine. Because, you know, another question that Tina asked me was, what lights you up? Go chase that. Go be very clear about that. And what lit me up was making things that help people learn. Simple as that. Whether it's workshops, resources, articles, interview series, something involving education, where here is someone on like sort of one side of the island and they're trying to get to another. I want to build that bridge that helps you get there. That's it. It was that simple. And Tina gently and kindly was like, in my worldview, she framed it as, in my worldview, you are not a creative director. Your superpowers are, you know, in writing, in content, in helping people level up, in giving a kind of curated education that fits that person's needs at that time in that moment. She's like, that's your superpower. And I'm like, holy shit, like that, no one, like that was so clarifying for me. And I remember going on my site and changing all the copy, you know, slightly. And it felt right. I remember reading it and going, man, this is me. Like, I've grown into this. And I remember talking to my best friend, Brandon, about this. And, cause I remember at the time when I was going through sort of talking to all my friends about identity and how they view me, it was actually very stressful for me. I was really spinning my wheels, and I just remember like people could feel sort of like my frustration, because I just felt like, I felt like I was like a sort of like a floating marble in space. I was like not grounded. I just didn't really know what it is or who I wanted to become. And my friend Brandon was just like, he's like, if you weren't feeling what you were feeling, then then you wouldn't be on the path that you signed up for. And he's like, if you don't want to feel this, you can stop right now. You can stop right now. You can do something totally different. He's like, you don't have to feel what you're feeling. You're feeling it because you're choosing to feel this, because that's what it takes when you're in the game, is you're going to have these experiences. And I remember going like, yeah, like that. I'm in it to win it. I want to play the long game. I want to keep going and seeing where I can take this. And I remember when I felt confident enough to share with the world, like, hey, I'm moving on from Creative Mornings. This is the kind of work I'm looking for. I was very specific and clear about it. I'd never done that before in my life. My new website, I flipped my entire photography website into like more like Paul Jun, like the writer, the photographer, the strategist, the person who can do all these kinds of projects, you know, who has written books. It felt good to have all of that in one place, because my blog isn't really about that, right? I don't need to communicate all that. What I'm communicating, what my blog is for, is just simple. It's a manifestation of my self-education. It's just that. And it's like, if you're interested, you can read it. You know, you might find something useful. But that's something I do for myself. I would do it even if I didn't have an audience. And I remember when I tweeted out my new link and this language, it was the first time I sort of did like a threaded tweet, you know, because I had seen other people do it in the creative spaces. I'm like, does this work? Like, you know, does this really help? And what's amazing is so many people retweeted that one tweet. You know, Tina retweeted it. My friend Sean, my buddy Mark, like, you know, all these different crafts, like designers, writers, architects, entrepreneurs, people in education, them retweeting that following weekend, my new email address had like more emails than I could have ever imagined. I remember just kind of going like, what is going on?
And roles that you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
Might not even be posted.
Right.
But people saw.
They saw it and they're like, oh, I want that. Like, he communicated his value really well, I hope, you know, enough for them to email and be like, hey, I'd love to have you for a 3-month project. Hey, are you available for 6 months? Hey, are you available for full time? Because my fear when I left Creative Mornings was the intention was to go freelance, but because I didn't have sort of a deeper safety net, and time sort of caught up with me, I needed to make a decision to sort of find something, so I can pay the bills. And it was an outcome that I could have never even imagined on my best day. And it happened. And it was just so, I was like, all that whiteboarding and that, you know, talking to close friends and literally just real talking my life out and asking for perspective. It was a lot of work. I had said no to almost everything that came my way, whether it was dating or hanging out or just grabbing a quick beer. Everything was a no. Everything that those 2-3 months was like, Paul, figure your shit out. Like, time is not infinite right now. Like, you need to make a decision. You need to put some stakes in the ground. You need to stand up for yourself. And you need to also realize that you have a community of people who are willing to help you, because I am not good at asking for help. And that was also a moment in my time where I had never asked for help with such velocity. Because of that moment, you know, those friendships are now forever solidified. You know, I have those people's backs for life. We may not talk for 10 years. They come out of the woodworks and ask for help. I'm there for you. It's that simple. And yeah, that was sort of the big transition and the lesson of one of how writing helped me stay grounded, even though I wasn't even really writing on my blog. That took a big break. But also, realizing that, you know, when you're trying to figure out like this sort of new path for yourself, to really tap into like your personal community of people and just get perspective. Because, you know, when I would present an opportunity to friends, sometimes, you know, 9 out of 10 would be like, you should absolutely take that. But then other times it was like really split. Like, some people were like, yeah, you should take that. And other people were like, do not take that. And I trust both parties at the same frequency. So it was also a little bit at times challenging, but it was just, it was also another lesson for me to be like, yes, gather as many perspectives as you can, but also remember, like, you are the one making this decision and you have to live with it. So really pay attention to your feelings rather than trying to drown them out with other people's like ideas of what your future looks like.
The hero's journey here. What?
Yo, literally, it's the yes, over and over and over and over.
Well, I could keep talking forever, but I think this is probably a great place, a wonderful, special place to stop just for now. But please let listeners know where they can follow up and learn more about your work.
Oh, yeah. Well, one, thank you for this. And two, my site is pauljun.me. It's kind of where I have all of my latest work and projects. And it's also where it's a jumping off point to find my articles, my writings. You know, if you are interested in my photography, I'm on Instagram. You know, and then on Twitter, I just like sharing the articles or the resources that I find interesting or things that I'm reading. But yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you.
Hey, friend. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Wanted to also let you know about my monthly newsletter called One Email Away, where I fundamentally believe that we are all one email away from new opportunities. And if there's a way that I could potentially help you to connect with other people, I would love to do that. So one email away. You can sign up for my newsletter on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. You can also see the one email away section. But just want to take this moment to say thank you for listening to this episode. Really excited for us to build and grow our portfolio careers together.